So anyway, today we're going to talk about the transcendental dependent arising factor of concentration, also known as samadhi. That's the Pali word for it. And so this is a continuation of our teaching for this year. And so, but before I start talking about that, I want to talk a little bit about my experience with meditation leading to samadhi. So I came to Seattle from New York City seeking a spiritual center. Didn't know what I was looking for exactly, but I knew that there was something spiritual about coming to Seattle for me. And it was pretty basically one of the main reasons why I moved here. And besides the fact that my daughter lived here, but and when I came, I was really looking for some spiritual spaces. I started with people of color healing circles, and then I started going to Native American prayer circles up on Capitol Hill. And then I was introduced into Buddhism meditation by friends of mine, Margo Adair and her husband, Bill All. And they were telling me, they took me to a Buddhist meditation site in the Central District. But at that time, I was not into chanting because they were into chanting at that meditation center. And the chanting reminded me too much of mass, a Catholic church. So it was like I couldn't get into it. I really just wanted to meditate at the time. And but they also told me that they used to sometimes go to Quaker meeting to meditate. And if I don't know if you know, but Quakers, they sit in silence in their meetings. And then if anyone has some inspiration, sometimes nobody does, sometimes somebody does from the Lord, they'll get up and they'll talk about it or talk about something that they're dealing with in their life. So I found that to be very helpful, but still there was no Buddhist guidance there. And it just so happened that I ended up working there, which is in the same space where our facility is right now, which is kind of weird. It's like I'm coming home again. But anyway, then I was introduced to Sims and Rodney Smith. And there I felt kind of at home. It was a little hard for me because at that time it was like the early 90s, and I was like maybe one of two or three people of color. So I went to Sims for quite a while, for many years, and under the tutelage of Rodney, who is a great teacher. I learned a lot from him. But and so with that practice, I believe, I mean, I know that my ethics evolved. I saw my hindrances, not all of them, I'm still working on them, but some of the main ones. And trying to limit my excessive stimulation. I think I've almost almost conquered torpor and sleepiness, although I still do that once in a while, but I'm feeling really good about it these days. And then I was dedicated to right livelihood. When I worked at the American Friends Service Committee, I was working on human rights and civil rights. So with Rodney and the visiting teachers, I learned the fundamentals of insight meditation. I established a daily routine, but I didn't know the suttas or Buddha's lists or anything. But for some reason, I didn't, it wasn't a part of my Sims experience. But then I participated in the Spirit Rock Dedicated Practitioner Program, and that used suttas as for practice. We read the suttas and studied them, and kind of pulled them apart and practiced them. And in the midst of that 3-year program, I enrolled in the Mindful Meditation Teacher Training Program with Jack Kornfield and Tara Brach, who were the lead teachers. That there were many wonderful teachers in that program, and people from all over the world. So practice has become a 24/7 habit, in a sense, in that even when I'm not sitting, I practice. And so, and within the last 4 years, it is our Sim Sangha, or our practice together, the teachings and the support of our lead teachers, Tim Guile and Tuari Salah and Kerry Pedersen, that have helped to deepen my love of the Dharma. And why am I telling you all of this? Because it's about concentration. Upon learning and practicing the factors of transcendental dependent arising so far, it has evolved my practice. It has evolved, increased my wholesomeness. I can feel it in my life. I take my time to arrive. I sit comfortably, relax my body. And so that gets into my evolvement and my advancement into samadhi. I select an object of focus. And well, I'm going to tell you that the Sangha is the object of my attention. I have experienced much joy with the Sangha. And as I linger in concentration, I have experienced samadhi with joy. The smile on my face grows as I continue to return to the joy of our Sangha and the joy that that brings to my life. Thoughts, they still come in and they continue to stream in my mind, but they're like a stream and I recognize them. They come and go without any effort in my part. I never thought that that would happen. I never experienced that before. But they go without any effort on my part because I continually focus on the object of the Sangha. So that every time I think of the Sangha, I feel gladness in my heart and my body and my mind, and I have a stillness that I've never had before. So I guess it's also a combination of loving kindness and appreciative joy. And that then the absorption within me deepens. Still with the thoughts streaming though. They come and they still come and go, but I don't control it. I don't have to strive for it. It's complete surrender on my part. I just have to naturally remember coming back, coming back to the Sangha, coming back to the joy that the Sangha brings, understanding and feeling the stillness and samadhi, and the samadhi naturally happens. So this is what I have experienced, and I wanted to share that with you. And it's not what I ever thought it would be like. And I understand that almost everyone will experience concentration differently. Everyone. And I believe the Buddha said that there are at least 30 ways. I'm not sure if I have that number right. But at least 30 ways to experience samadhi. So we go from happiness to concentration. And samadhi is like, means bringing it together or placing it together. With concentration, my mind is no longer scattered when I sit. As I said, the thoughts still come and go, but they come and they go. And even if I linger in them or start the story, I have more, I guess it's effort within me that helps me to remember, come back, come back. So in the Dhammapada, we find that the Buddha says there's no wisdom without concentration and no concentration without wisdom. And then concentration is not the final gold. It's the stable platform which we see liberation. We could see liberation. You know, our ordinary minds, it wanders, it remembers, it anticipates what we want, it judges what we do and what other people do, it worries about things that we have no control over, it fantasizes about all different kinds of things, it resists, and it clings. But the Buddha compared this restless mind to a monkey swinging from branch to branch. And with that mind, I could never see clearly. We can't see clearly with a mind that does all these things, anticipates and judges. Concentration requires still waters. And why does happiness come before concentration? We often think, I'll become concentrated and then I'll be peaceful. But the Buddha reverses that order. Peace and happiness produces concentration. And joy produces steadiness. You know, it's like when you're trying to calm an angry child. You know, and if you forcefully tell them, you know, stop, you know, you better stop, you know, they're, you know, and you command them to relax, the more agitated they become. But if you offer safety and your kindness and you reassure them that eventually that everything will be fine, the child relaxes. The mind works exactly in the same way. A joyful mind naturally settles. Many people can concentrate. We concentrate. A surgeon concentrates. If you're playing chess, you have to concentrate. You know, our young people who play video games, they concentrate. You know, a sniper concentrates. But this is not necessarily Buddhist samadhi. With samadhi, you need ethical purity. You need mindfulness. We need inner peace. And we need freedom from craving. We also need wholesome intention. And the Buddha taught concentration techniques and first emphasized preparation, so the mind settles more easily when supported by wholesome conditions. As I said, ethical living, when we refrain from harming others, living in accord with the precepts, when we're simple, because too much stimulation scatters our attention, when we're mindful, and repeatedly returning to the present strengthens our ability and stability. And when we have joy with gratitude, generosity, loving kindness, and these nourish happiness. From happiness comes concentration. You may wonder, well, you know, what do I expect? Deep concentration, I mean, my joy that I have in the Sangha, I mean, it's wonderful, but it's ordinary. There's less thinking, less effort, more ease. It's not really, you know, we think of the word concentration. I've always thought of the word concentration like something like you have to like really grit your teeth and, you know, clench your fist and I'm going to do it. But this kind of samadhi is not like that. Just staying with the breath, it draws itself together. And the meditation begins meditating itself. So we don't have to strive. The Buddha taught balance. Just like he said the story about when he asked the monk Sona, when the strings of your lute were too tight, did it sound well? And he said, no. When they were too loose, no. When tuned just right, he said, yes. And the Buddha said that practice of samadhi is exactly the same like that. Balance, effort produces harmony. The other thing is that concentration is not limited to our cushions. These practices help that to unify the mind, walking slowly, listening deeply, preparing tea, washing the dishes, and gardening, and other simple things. This simplicity cultivates collectiveness throughout the day. So concentration is not merely feeling pleasant. Your daily life changes with that. You become less reactive, more patient. I know I do. I can't believe how patient I am these days and how I don't react as much to what happens around me. So these are the indicators that my meditation is bearing fruit. So with this sequence of transcendental dependent arising, concentration is not the destination, but it prepares us for the next stage. It prepares us to give rise to knowledge and vision of things as they truly are. Thank you. Oh, I think, thank you. I think that we will get into groups. There's 21 of us, 20 of us, I guess. And we'll do groups of four for 8 to 10 minutes. How's that? Now. All right. So, do you have any feedback for me on what are you thinking about concentration?
Oops, I've got to raise my hand. Right as we were ending our small group, I said, I really think like we need different words or translations or definitions of meditation and concentration, because so much of it comes with a certain expectation of what this actually means. Like the concentration, oh, well, the mind is just quiet and settled. And I think you can concentrate and be have a settled mind even when there's a lot of chatter. Like you said, Nina, that your thoughts come and go, but you can just be settled. So that was what I want to explore that more for myself in terms of how do I even define concentration for me.
I know. Sometimes the words get us all mixed up, but I can understand that. Yeah. Sherry.
Nina, I had such a, I really felt your heart through your talk. It was very powerful to me, and I'm very grateful for that. And in our group, we had a lot of questions for you about what does it mean to hold the Sangha as your object of concentration? What exactly are you doing? How? Is it an image or is it something that you do when you're by yourself? And so on. So I would like to invite you to talk about that if you don't mind.
Sure. I think what I understand that one of the techniques in order to reach samadhi is that you have to select an object. And usually it's the breath, or you can select the body, or you can select loving kindness. Or you can select anything that brings joy. And I don't think teachers usually tell you this. And then so you relax the body and you focus on that joy, but you're also focusing on being in the present. So it's that joy you're holding in the present. And like I said, your mind's still gonna wander just like when you're doing mindfulness meditation. But for some reason, when you're holding that joy, which is why joy is an important component of it, that I think it makes reflecting or just letting your thoughts pass a lot easier. It's still, I still get distracted. But or I could still go into the story, but it's easier for me to remember, come back to the present, come back to visualizing, because I visualize the Sangha. I'll visualize this, all of these little squares usually. And yeah, that's I hope that answers your question. Lauren, how are you?
Yes, I really appreciated you telling us and sharing how concentration is for you and the object, the importance of the object. And I don't have the same object. My object is nature, and it's like that's why I like mindfulness of breathing as it's helping me a lot because breathing is nature. And breathing is right here in my heart, so I look inward, and it's my body is also nature, and so that's gives me this, and then that helps me focus on an object that is not of the world. You know, it's not worldly world. It's the greater than world. It's the universe, really. It's not personal, to me, it's not personal. And it also keeps me in the present because my breathing is present. And then I had been thinking this morning as thinking in my meditation, as I was not totally concentrated, you know, why is rapture right there at the beginning? You know, that's kind of extreme. And why is there rapture right away? And sometimes it can be very distracting. And so I was trying to place it in the sequence because you were talking, you know, about then comes tranquility and concentration and stillness. And so I really appreciated you going through all the very concrete details because it was very easy for me to connect with it and think about my own experience, even though it's a different object. And yeah, I just got so much from it. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh,
and the chant. I did ask a question about the chant because I know the first verse, but I don't know the other verses. Where did you get those?
I got those through from Tweri.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, Nina. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your reflection. Hey, Judith.
Hi, Nina. Thank you. It was really it's really good to. To hear your experience, I like that a lot, and you have a very soothing way of presenting things and helps us relax and concentrate a little more. And thinking about the term, you know, concentration, and how I always thought of concentration, like you have to concentrate. It's big time effort and some tension involved. And I find that this path is constantly asking me to redefine words, to see them differently. And I think, you know, I think there's definitely value in finding other terms that fit more. But at the same time, that I find there's also value in redefining something that I have a lot of conditioning around. Like the whole process of concentration. Like, you know, how many times was I told, concentrate on your homework, concentrate on this, you've got to concentrate. And of course, I wouldn't, you know. right. But now I'm, you know, I'm thinking differently about, oh, like playing the piano. When can I play best? I play best when I'm relaxed, you know. And so many other things, yeah. So anyway, a lot to contemplate here.
Thank you, Judah. Thanks so much. Yeah, I agree with you. Exactly. We do have, I feel the same way, having to redefine some of the words. I mean, you know, I think of Lauren, I think of rapture, you know, redefining rapture for me. Rapture came when I became aware that I could overcome my hindrances or a hindrance. That would give me rapture. It was like, oh yeah, I did it. Okay. It's like, you know, I can conquer this. Oh, Faith, how are you?
I'm really appreciating this whole conversation and, yes, the soft, welcoming, invitational way that you've presented all this is really helpful to me. And I'm so glad that people are talking about what they're concentrating on. And what they're, because I've, it's my breath or it's this thing. There are just some rules about where my mind has to go. And that, you know, I think we all feel that concentration is that thing that your parents told you and they were, when they were mad at you. Anyway, I'd love for that to be a topic sometime, is what concentration really is, just as you've been talking about it, and what people use as a focus for meditation. I think it could widen the field and make it more humane somehow. Anyway, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Faith. Thank you. Yes, no, that's a good point. And I'm hoping that during this month, the different talks will do that. And for our Thursday Sangha, the cohort has, this is kind of the people who do their reflections. We've decided to pair up because each of us has a different focus and a way that we concentrate.
Uh-huh.
So that will hopefully open it up for the month. Thank you. That's good. Another thing that I wanted to say was that thank you for your comment about the softness, and Seuss was also talking about how there's been this year just the softness of the Dharma and mm-hmm. us going into it, and that has been wonderfully felt by many of us. Thank you. Thank you. Dan, good morning, Dan. How are you doing?
Yeah. Thanks. I mean, I would have humorously said that the order is incorrect. For me, as I begin to try to understand this path, I think of what are the things that I could do intentionally. Well, I can try to make an effort. So that feels like something I can sit down. I can try to be mindful, and I can try to concentrate. So those things make sense to me, right? I never really understood PT, and I don't know how I could make myself happy. So it unnerved me a bit, Nina, that I couldn't quite follow this idea. Like, I would have to be happy first in order to concentrate. I'm obviously not saying the Buddha's wrong, but for me, it seemed like at my beginning stage of this, I'm trying to focus on what I feel I have even a tidbit of control over. And, you know, I can barely get myself to be mindful. My concentration sucks, but I can make an effort, and I believe that it's the right effort to make. So I'll stop there.
Well, I think that one of the words that you said is having control over, and you don't have control over. That's the thing, is you have to let go of the control.
Oh, no.
And yes, you do. And I think that the only way that you can do that is to practice regularly. You have to practice, you have to meditate regularly. And I agree, you know, we're conditioned, because I felt the same way you did. I mean, why would happiness come before concentration? I didn't understand that until I experienced it. And the only way that you can experience it is to continue to practice and trust the Dharma. You can't control it. It's not a controllable thing. You have to just let it be and be in the present. One of the things that I would suggest, and that really helped me with samadhi, was when I was meditating, I kept telling myself, be in the present, be in the present, be in the present.
I'm not very good at that either.
Well, that's practice.
I have so valued like thinking about the past or planning or anticipating or heading off the future that the present is like, what? That's something.
You don't see, there's no plan. I got work to do. No control. This, you gotta give it up. Give it up, Dan.
Okay.
We're gonna keep on you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hi, Nikhil.
Yeah, thank you so much for your talk. I guess something that, Dan, you mentioned, and something I think, Nina, that you said earlier, made me almost think of just trying to cultivate interest in what's present in the moment, and that there could be joy that just arises from that. And I can't make myself feel happy, but I think just when I'm able to settle and kind of sit for a moment, there is so much to be interested in whatever's taking place. And then when I find that interest, I think oftentimes joy kind of comes from that. And so that was just, yeah, thanks for to both of you. It was a helpful sharing.
That's a very good point. I agree with you. That has helped me, having the interest in, you know, interest in the object. It's something that I'm interested in. So it just so happened it brought me joy. And as a sideline, I think that I also believe that being interested in the Sangha and the work that we do has really helped me from sleepiness, with my sleepiness. Okay. Well, before we close, I'd like to say that we can share the merit of our practice today to the world. May each of us cultivate the happiness that gives rise to concentration. May concentration mature into wisdom. May wisdom blossom into complete freedom. May all beings be peaceful. May all beings be happy. May all beings be awakened.